I move on to the powerful change that is seen in the spiritual nature. Too many people think that if they are acceptable for earth, they're also going to be acceptable for heaven. But the kingdom of God is not earthly. The kingdom of God is heavenly, holy, and exquisite. It's a place where every creature is like God. Now, see how I word this. That's why I was reading my notes here. I don't want to get this wrong. I don't want to give anyone the wrong impression.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I thank you for joining with us. It is a real privilege for me to come behind this microphone and to minister to your heart through God's Word. Our confidence is in the Bible. It is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Christ died not in vain, but he died to redeem and to save his people. And I have this wonderful privilege day by day to share the gospel with you. We take the sermons from our pulpit ministry here at the Free Presbyterian Church, and we are sharing and expounding the way of God's salvation. Now, today's portion is John 3 on the new birth, where Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus with a whole bunch of questions, and the Lord holds nothing back and expounds to this religious leader that he needs a new heart. He needs to be born again from above, and this is the great miracle of salvation that is needed by every son of Adam and Eve, you and me. We need new hearts that we might be right with God. And of course, there is a tremendous change that comes when a person is born again. They are no longer following the world, but they are in heart made to be disciples of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is no mere imitation. It is a heart that's truly changed and is given power and grace to live a new life. And as we like to say, we are changed from the inside out. So stay tuned as we move to our pulpit ministry on John chapter 3, Nicodemus coming to Jesus, and he's told that he must be born again.
The new birth is not mysterious. It is equal to faith in the Lord Jesus. You become a Christian by faith in the Lord Jesus. You receive the new birth by trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And the moment that you trust in him and Christ comes into your life, you become a new creature. The margin of your Bible might show you that it means a new creation. You're made again, just like born again, you're made again. And that old nature is turned into a new nature. And you are given a new heart, new desires. We're told that the old things are passed away. Behold, surprisingly, behold, all things become new. And that's why you may hear people in their testimony of salvation will say that for me it was like the light coming on. I was in darkness and the light came on. And I saw it, I understood it, I rejoiced in it, and it was like walking into a new world. It was like sitting in a dark room and suddenly I'm led out into the daylight. And the things that were strange are understandable, comprehensible. The things that I loved, I now hate. The sin of this world, the things that turned me on, I reject. And this is the new nature by which we are born again by the Spirit. So I ask, do you have this eternal life? Do you have this new nature? Have you been born again? That's the radical nature of this new birth. Now, I move on. This need for a powerful change is seen in the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's emphasized in this passage, John 3, that this work of the Holy Spirit is sovereign. Because, you know, Nicodemus is asking questions here. Look at verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now notice that the word Spirit there has an uppercase S. It's the Holy Spirit. The water, by the way, is the Word of God. It's not baptism. Let's get that right. Let's get that straight. Baptism does not convert you. Baptism does not give you a new nature. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace that is already operating. And this word water here is figurative. The word water is a reference to the Word of God. And Peter says that we are born again by the Word. And invariably, Christians are brought to the Bible before they are converted. They are brought to the Bible, to God's Word, when the Spirit of God draws them. He puts a searching in their heart to know the Scriptures and to know that Word. And so the Holy Spirit must do that work. Now, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's it. No hope, no change. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. New nature, new life. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then in verse 8, you have this illustration of the wind. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. And we're told the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now the wind was up last night. I saw the trees moving. I have no idea where that wind was coming from. I don't know why the calm was disturbed into something of a storm. I do not know why the wind ceased and stopped. I think right now it's pretty calm. But who can tell what stirs the wind to move? When and how? Who can predict that? And the Lord Jesus takes that truth that you experience in your physical realm, and he says that is like the new birth. It is sovereign work of the Spirit. He alone is the operator, and he brings new life into hearts. When, how, and to whom he will. And that is the sovereign work. Now I hear you thinking, if that's the case then, I can't do a thing to become a Christian. If that's the case then, I just have to sit here and wait for the wind to move. If that's the case, only God can save me. I can do absolutely nothing. I have no part in it at all. And you might say, I won't become a Christian now. Maybe when I'm 50, 60, retired age, and going in those twilight years of life, then I'll consider being a Christian. Then I will turn to the Bible and get serious about the salvation of my soul. Let me tell you, if you miss the moving of the Holy Spirit now, There is no telling that he will ever move again. At any time in your life, in your soul. And if there is the conviction of sin in your heart today, the burden, I'm not fit for the kingdom of God, and that reality has sunk in, and you realize that you would stand before God naked without an answer for your sin, and you cry out today, I need to be saved. The Holy Spirit is working. That's his work, to convict of sin and, of course, also to create faith. That is also the work of the Spirit. And if you recognize that Jesus is the Savior whom God has sent, that his work on the cross was to wash away your sins, come believing. And you will be saved. That's the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. And if you fight that, resist that, there's a warning text in Genesis 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And so while the Spirit is speaking, come, repent, believe, trust, and give your heart unto the Lord, and he will save your soul. I move on to the powerful change that is seen in the spiritual nature. Too many people think that if they are acceptable for earth, they're also going to be acceptable for heaven. But the kingdom of God is not earthly. The kingdom of God is heavenly, holy, and exquisite. It's a place where every creature is like God. Now, see how I word this. That's why I was reading my notes here. I don't want to get this wrong. I don't want to give anyone the wrong impression. Every soul in heaven is like God. We do not become gods. We do not become perfect in the sense that we have the very nature and character of God. But our nature is transformed into his likeness. Every sin is gone, and we have now a sinless, new, glorious nature like unto God. And every soul that is brought into heaven has been so changed that they can enjoy heaven. Because there's no bingo there. There's no gambling there. There are no drugs there. There are no sinful pleasures in heaven. There's no lust in heaven. There are no Hollywood movies. There are no silly games in heaven. Heaven is a place of perfection, where a perfect God lives with a perfect people. And if you are not changed, you can never dwell in the glory of heaven. The reality is that we by nature are all married to this old world. We enjoy it so much, we are stuck in the mire of this world, and we need to be changed. Now let's face it, you are a lover of this world. You love its glitter, you love its temptations, you just fall for every new invitation to follow the world. Therefore you need a new heart. You need to be born again. And until you are brought to enjoy spiritual things, things of the kingdom, like the Bible, until this becomes a new book to you, until prayer is as natural as your breathing, until you are on your knees pleading with God to be changed more and more into His image. Can you say that you're born again? Unless there is this hating of the world and this longing for heavenly grace, can you say that you're born again? Can you say that you're fit for the kingdom of heaven? There are people who talk about going to heaven, and if they got there, it would be hell to them, because their nature is antithetical to holiness and to godliness. And that's why Jesus said, ye must be born again. And I come lastly to the imperative language that is used here, the must. There is a need for a radical change, because it says ye must be born again. Could the Lord have been any more assertive? Could He have been any more clear in His statement at verse 3, verse 5, verse 7? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And verse 7, marvel not. Do not be surprised at this. It should be no strange statement. Ye must be born again. Now, the Lord did not say this would be a good insurance policy to have. This would be a good backup plan, just in case things don't work out for you. No, He said, ye must be born again. He did not say that maybe you need to be born again. He said, you must, absolutely must. You have natural life. Obviously, you have a physical body, but you also have a soul. And that soul needs to be regenerated, needs to be brought out of the grave of sin and given new life, that you might live with a new nature, a new heart toward God. You cannot depend on mere religion. That's the big lesson of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is the go-to person for an example of a religious man who was lost, dead in trespasses and sins. And you must be born from above and given new faith, new hope in the Lord Jesus. That's the radical change that is required. Now, I must point out that you cannot make yourself born again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's sovereign, His sovereign work. So what are you to do? You can't just pull yourself up by your bootlaces. You cannot regenerate yourself. This is not talking about turning over a new leaf and saying, well, midnight tonight, I'm going to say goodbye to my old ways, and I'm going to determine in my own heart that I'm going to live a new way. That's not the new birth experience. What you need is the Lord Jesus in your heart. Would you notice, and I have a slight advantage here, and I hope maybe you have one too, and that is a Bible with the words of the Lord Jesus in red letters. I want you to notice that John 3:16 and those verses leading up to it are verses, are words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. And sometimes in our familiarity with John 3:16, we miss the person to whom the words were spoken. And what led up to this is verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and you remember how the people who were bitten by the snakes or the serpents, they were poisoned and they were dying, and they were told to look up to that pole with the brass serpent. They were to look to that pole. And those that looked, lived. And just in same manner, we are delivered from the poison of sin by a look, by looking unto Jesus. Would you read that with me in John 3:14? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're talking about faith in the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. How do you get saved? How are you born again? How do you become a Christian? You look to the dying, bleeding form of the Lord Jesus, and you trust in his death for salvation. And Christ comes into your heart, and you receive a new nature, and you have Christ living in you. That's the glorious hope that the gospel offers to the worst of sinners. Ye must be born again, and the Lord Jesus will give you that new heart when you believe, call on him to save your soul. There's no other way. There's no other way. And we plead with you today to put your own trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and be saved. And you might say, but I can't do it. I can't change myself. I know that. That's the point. You need to be born from above. You need Christ to enter your life. And until he is in your heart, you'll never change. He changes you from the inside out. And it's called being born again, a new life. That's the promise, the invitation of the gospel.
Oh, tell me more, so much I need, his power to keep, his hand to lead. Oh, tell me more of him I love, until I see his face above. Oh, tell me more of Christ my Savior. On this glad theme dwell o'er and o'er. His boundless grace, his saving favor, his precious name, oh, tell me more. Oh, tell me more, so much I need, his power to keep, his hand to lead. Oh, tell me more. His face above. Oh, tell me more, and I repeating the happy news shall spread the joy. Come, blessed Lord, thy work completing, till songs of praise our lips employ. Oh, tell me more, so much I need, his power to keep, his hand to lead. Until I see
tell you today a little about that great gospel preacher, George Whitefield, from the 1700s. He says that at the age of 16, I began to fast twice in the week for nearly 36 hours together, prayed many times a day, received the sacrament every Lord's Day, fasting myself almost to death all the 40 days of Lent, during which I did not go less than 3 times a day to public worship, besides 7 times to private prayers, yet I knew no more that I needed to be born again, a new creature in Christ Jesus, than if I never was born at all. Then by God's grace, Charles Wesley put a book in my hand, whereby God showed me that I must be born again or damned. This is a most extraordinary testimony, showing how far a man may go and not be saved. The words of the Lord Jesus are plain. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. After the conversion to God, Whitefield became an eloquent and powerful preacher of the gospel. He is said to have preached over 1,000 times from the text, "Ye must be born again," and to all kinds of audiences, from the very roughest to that of the highest and noblest in the land. The effect of his preaching was so remarkable that great audiences are described as being drenched in tears. "How can I help weeping," he said to them, "when you have not wept for yourselves?" And they began to weep. A preacher sat in a study one night after returning from preaching and began to question himself. "I have preached to others, but have I been converted myself? If so, where was I converted? When was I converted? How was I converted?" Remember, put these questions to yourself, and if you are honest, you will soon discover your true state. Yes, indeed, may the Lord, in His power and grace, come and fill your heart with that experience of the new birth, born again by the Holy Spirit. For this, I pray for you today.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.